It's hard to believe it, but we've entered the third year of living in a pandemic. I recall the first time I really heard about this thing called COVID. It was on February 12th, 2020, at my dead friend Hayden Kennedy's 30th birthday party. Even though Hayden is gone, his parents, Michael and Julie, have been pretty good at getting around 50 or so of us friends and family together on HK's B-Day. We start by hiking up a popular trail over Carbondale, Colorado, with dramatic vistas of snow-covered Mount Sopris. We teeter out on an airy fin of rock that hangs over the Roaring Fork River 1,000 feet below, as well as the house where Hayden grew up. We crack a beer and shiver in the cold, laughing and crying before this magnificent winter panorama. We tell our Hayden stories, and part of me always hopes we don't wear them too thin, since they're all that's left. After the hike, we go out to dinner at Pollo Rico, a Mexican restaurant where Michael and Julie once held Hayden's high school graduation party in what now feels like three lifetimes ago. At the restaurant that year, I sat next to the elusive Stephen Dilk of EnormaCast Taps episode fame. Steve had been traveling in Vietnam when news of a viral outbreak in Wuhan was first reported in the media. Though bummed to cut his trip short, he wisely got on the next flight home and managed to slip into the States before all travel from Asia was shut down. "Do you think this virus is going to be a big deal here?" I asked. "No way, definitely not," Dilk scoffed. "It's totally being overblown. I mean, I saw people in China wearing masks with holes cut into them so they could keep smoking." Steve Dilk is an outstanding human and one of the most interesting guys I know, but he ended up being monumentally wrong about COVID. By March, however, like most of us, he had changed his tune and was now taking the whole thing quite seriously. Over the past couple years, we've struggled together as a society to wrestle with questions of risk and consequence, balanced against our commitments and responsibilities to each other. These calculations have been especially difficult to make as the science has moved fast and as the data has changed, and as so many experts and authorities have stumbled with truly terrible messaging, dripping with paternalism and dishonesty, in service of what they believe is for our own good. Yet amid all the failures and stumbles, we also find ourselves in the contradictory position of being so deeply in debt to the scientists who sequenced the virus's genome within a weekend on January 10th. By January 15th of 2020, a whole month before my conversation with Steve Dilk at HK's birthday party, they had actually developed the vaccine. That's just amazing, especially considering the last major vaccine took 10 years to produce. As Dr. Eric Topol put it, this timeline will go down in history as one of science and medical research's greatest achievements, perhaps the most impressive. It's just so strange to realize that the pandemic has been both the pinnacle of scientific achievement as well as an epistemic nightmare for so many, in which it's truly difficult to find good information and know how to respond and make risk calculations intelligently. How to actually follow the science and not just say you believe in it with your yard sign. It's a kind of motif of our times in which existential threat feels so imminent while the truth seems so hopelessly elusive. As a response, we seem to either accept the inherent discomfort of just not knowing anything or latch on to a narrative that gives us a reprieve from this low-key omniscient dread and uncertainty. As climbers, I wonder if we have been uniquely suited to deal with such circumstances. Isn't this kind of predicament precisely what climbing and adventure has been preparing us for? This is an admittedly inchoate observation, and I don't mean to make too much of a parallel between how we manage risk during a pandemic and how we take risks while climbing routes or mountains. But there is something there. There is some similarity, at least in our mindset or our mental approach, to finding a bit of ease during scary and anxiety-inducing situations. It's the way you can feel tense and horrified at a hanging belay with 1,000 feet of air under your ass, and simultaneously be serene and even confident. There is, or at least ought to be, something about climbing that has prepared us to continue forward in the face of so much unpredictability. Do you feel it too, or is it just me? Climbers don't charge blindly and hubristically into their adventures without doing everything possible to weigh the risks, to understand the consequences, and to do as much as reasonably possible to protect ourselves against the dangers that lie ahead. Again, not to belabor the metaphor, but with the vaccine, everything changes. The vaccine offers us the difference between using ropes or free soloing. It's now rational to tie in and continue the ascent, regardless of the uncertainty that lies ahead. And after 2 years of this, I'm vaxxed, but I'm not very vexed about where the risks lie, and I'm ready to start climbing again.